to the Culture Chat hosted by WorkExo. Our mission is to upgrade work. Find out more about our Workplace Genome Project at workexo.com. And now, over to our host for today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Culture Chat podcast, where we wrestle to the ground various important issues around workplace culture. And my name is Jamie Nodder. I'm a partner at WorkExo. I am here with my partner, Charlie Judy. Charlie, how are you doing today?
I'm good, thanks. What's up, everybody?
And we are going to talk today about a topic that is obviously near and dear to our hearts because it's about startups, of which we are one. And really, how do you balance culture and doing the hard work of a startup? And we have someone that we're going to chat with about that. So, Charlie, what do you have to say?
Yeah, so Jamie's right. I mean, this is something that, of course, is near and dear to us, although I yearn for the day when we don't have to call ourselves a startup anymore.
Right. Want to be started.
But it's a unique environment, and it comes with its obstacles and challenges, and it's moving quickly, and there are lots of external and internal factors that are kind of either at risk of or actually kind of compromising or can compromise what we've all really worked hard to build. And that's the culture that is getting us to where we are today. And so I think we collectively, certainly at WorkExo, are still very interested in learning more from organizations who have faced this head on and have been intentional about preserving and or evolving their culture to meet their own evolution. And we've got somebody today who I think has some great in the trenches firsthand experience doing that. That's Jonathan Herrick, who I'm going to ask to introduce himself with a little bit more color and context in just a second. He's the CSO and CMO for Hatchbuck, which is an all-in-one sales and marketing platform, of which we at WorkExo are a client. We use it for a lot of our sales automation stuff. We love it. And Jonathan has seen and been a driving factor in growing Hatchbuck sales, which I don't know, Jonathan, you'll tell us whether or not you think Hatchbuck is really a startup anymore, but you've grown it by over 2,000%. We are hoping Hatchbuck will be able to grow our sales by 2,000%, and maybe we'll get to some of that secret sauce today. So with that, I'm going to throw it over to Jonathan just to tell the audience a little bit more about himself, and quickly thereafter, we'll get to the big question of the day. So Jonathan, welcome.
Great, Charlie. Thanks for having me, and excited to talk with your listeners here. As Charlie mentioned, my name is Jonathan Herrick, and I am the CSO, CMO, and co-founder of Hatchbuck. Sometimes they call me the chief high fiver here, but I am passionate about growing startups. This is my second startup, and so I've been in the trenches, as Charlie mentioned, skinned my knees a few times, and just been able to see what works and what doesn't work as it relates to building a great culture that engages employees. So I'm really excited to talk to you both today. You can always learn more about Hatchbuck at hatchbuck.com, and love to get to your question of the day.
Awesome. So let's dig into it. This, as I said, is really important to me. We believe strongly in culture, but we also know firsthand that it is a lot of hard work to build a startup and get it off the ground. And so culture can often be one of those things that gets left behind. We're worried about that. So our big question today is, how do you balance? How do you balance a focus on culture with what we know are the priorities of startup life?
That's a great question. I think when everybody thinks of startup life, they think of Google and some of the larger companies, and they think of foosball tables and free food. And we do some of those things here. But I think what's missed in the translation of company culture is the secret sauce, which is really knowing and living your core values. And I think sometimes we can get running so fast as a startup that we forget just to slow down and make sure that we're embodying those values, living those values. And every startup has a culture, of course. It's just the question is, what is it going to be? And it is a culture that you can grow and scale. So as your business scales, and as you move from co-founders to hiring people, whether it be leaders or team members, and the question is can you grow a culture that's healthy, that can scale, that can help to get your business where you want to go? And I think startups, you know, obviously that's something that sometimes is an afterthought, right?
Tell us more, Jonathan, about the whole process for kind of establishing, coalescing around and making known those core values. You know, if that's a central part of what you do, how do you get there? How did you start there?
Sure. So I'll take us back to our last company. We had a great startup company here in St. Louis, and we grew it, and we actually were acquired. That wasn't part of the strategy, but I believe, you know, great companies are bought, they're not sold. And our core focus was building culture and building into the team. You know, there's a number of our team members that came over as we started our new venture with Hatchbuck. It's been 4 years, and as you mentioned, we're kind of out of that startup phase, but I've definitely gone through it. And I think at the beginning, we were really intentional about giving our team members the power to own and drive the culture and really align them to the purpose of the business. And I think it really all starts with three things, and that is developing and communicating our core values, right? So it's one thing to know them. It's another thing to live them. And, you know, early on, I reminded the team, you know, Enron had their core values etched into the lobby of their building, right? And and among those were communication, and I believe it was respect and integrity.
Yeah.
And we all know how that ended up for everybody, right? And so it's not just enough to know your core values. It really matters on whether or not people are living them. So for us, it's, you know, we have five core values. Everyone here knows them. You walk in, it's in the middle of our office. We share company wins and customer wins based around those values. And so I'm just a big believer in when you start the business, identifying what the values of that business are, and they'll grow over time, but ultimately your leadership team should do more than just focus on the product or the go-to-market strategy. You need to sit down and focus on those values, and then you need to hire people that align to those values and then make sure everyone's living them every day. And I think a big part of that here is when we have conversations with each other, we want to make sure that those values are part of what we're communicating and also part of what we're sharing, whether it be on Slack or whatever tools we have to share. We want to enforce those values every day.
And the enforcing it and making sure people are living it, I think, is obviously really critical. I imagine, though, that can, or you tell me, but I would imagine that that's going to involve some tough conversations sometimes. I mean, if you need to hold people accountable to values, it's not all about the wins. It's got to be about, hey, what happened last week really kind of went against our values. How are we going to deal with that? Do you guys have those conversations out front and really tackle it head on?
We do. We have an open environment here, right? So we appreciate everybody. We know that as a software company, the only way to be innovative is to have people who are allowed to think outside the box. You know, we have one value that comes to mind is do the right thing. And we always say we don't need a 100-page policy handbook to know what we should do when it comes to treating our team members and treating our clients. And I had one of our leaders come in one day, and they asked a tough question in regards to a customer. And of course, the first question I asked was, you know, what's the right thing to do? Mm-hmm. And sometimes that's really tough because when you're in a startup environment and revenue really matters, right, and cash flow matters, it's easy to follow the money. And I think that's obviously important to grow revenue. But it's sometimes tough to make those really difficult decisions in the trenches, which is, you know, what's the right thing to do? If we really want to have a culture that values each other, values our customers, how can we live that one value out? And so it does come up every day in everything we do. Another value, Charlie, that I would share is, you know, we believe in keeping things simple. And we're really passionate and relentless about making life easier for our customers by making the software easy, but also just making their lives easy. And I think, you know, it's easy for us as a software company to start building features that our customers ask for. And before you know it, we have this massive software solution. But ultimately, one of our values here is to keep it simple. And we want our customers, we want our internal team members to know that there's always a simple way. Let's not make it complex, right? So there's a lot of, we have five values. There's a lot of different ways that we ensure them, but those are just a couple that come to mind.
How do those, Jonathan, how do those values evolve? Because, you know, I see this continuum of an organization, and you know, do you work hard to establish core values that will withstand the test of time, irrespective the size of the organization, or where it is in its own development, the product that it's selling? Or is there some, you know, hey, we're going to revisit these. And you know, Jamie and I talk a lot about values in the context of culture. We use the Enron example all of the time. So maybe we can, you know, just assume for sake of this conversation that values equates to culture to some degree. But how do you make sure that you're allowing it to live and breathe? Or do you allow it to live and breathe?
I believe you do. I think go back to the Enron example really quickly. And you know, I don't know how many employees walked through the lobby and recognized those values, but I do know one thing: the leadership didn't embody and live them, right? And so, you know, when you say honesty is one of their values and everyone's packing their boxes one day, right, unexpectedly, then obviously, you know, integrity and honesty wasn't a true value of the organization. So I think the first thing is, in a startup environment especially, is the values are going to come from the founders or the leaders of the business, right? I mean, you've got 2, 3, 4, 5 employees, and initially it's going to be the drivers coming from leadership. You know, as you grow and evolve, and one company comes to mind is Rackspace. You know, they hire 1,000 what they call Rackers a year, right, employees, and they've been able to scale and grow their culture. And so I think over time it does change a little bit, because your team members have direct input into those values. If they're not living a value, maybe it's a value that you shouldn't have anymore. Or maybe there's, you know, we always kid here, we think food is probably our 6th value, and we probably need to change it. But I do believe that is living and breathing. I think it's really important for startups to early on identify what they value, and it'll help to guide them in a lot of decisions. Things from, you know, should we take investment from this investment firm? Are they aligned to our values? Should we hire this person? Do they embody the values? So I think having it early on is key, but also agree that it does evolve. And as you have, as a founder, as you have more and more leaders coming in to your company, as you have to delegate, the culture is going to start to embody those leaders. And so we want to empower people here to carry the culture torch, and to make sure that those values are in line with where we should be going.
And one other thing that we find a lot in our conversations around culture with organizations, that we probably push them to see a little more or to make a little more explicit, is that connection between what's valued and what makes them successful, right? Like, I'm assuming you're on the same page as us, that it's like, you don't just, like, kind of like Enron, you don't just choose the values that sound good, that make everyone happy, or that look like Google. You value things internally, like doing the right thing or keeping it simple in your case, because it makes you more successful when you do that, right? Like, that's, I assume that connection is made explicit. So I guess my question is, have you guys gone through different stages of growth where there was a big shift, where it's like, man, early on we had to value X because it made this stuff happen, but now where we are in our growth curve, we need to value things a little bit differently because it's different things that drive our success. Have you seen that?
I have. So we, when I set up the values for our business, I believe they're rooted in the fabric of the type of people, the type of customers, type of business we wanted to grow. So our 5 core values are our mainstay. Everyone here knows them, and there are customers that feel the byproduct of us living those values, right? Mm-hmm. I would say one value that on our list of values, communication is just implied. Mm-hmm. But what's interesting is, as a business grows, that's one that sometimes becomes more of a challenge, right? When you're working in a startup environment, and all three individuals or 5 individuals that start the business are you know, a rock throw away from talking, communication doesn't seem to be as big of an issue. But as you scale and grow, and you start to layer in leadership and management, and the founders get farther away from some of the daily things they used to do, communication can suffer. And so I believe that's a value we've been working on extremely hard here. It's something we've had to improve on. And ultimately, you know, it may wind up being one of our values down the road. But it's something we definitely value, and we're starting to find ways that we can improve that, because ultimately we want to make sure that the purpose and the vision of the business goes down to every level of the organization, right? So when you're a handful of people, it's easy for everyone to be, you know, on the same journey, chasing the same purpose. But when you get to 20, 50, 100, 500 employees, then obviously you have to be more intentional about communicating that.
Yeah. Yeah, we actually go ahead, Jelly.
Well, no, I was just going to say I love I love the example that you gave there around communication. I think it's a great one, and it plays out in a lot of different ways. But the notion that, you know, not only do you have to have the value, but you have to have the right things around it to make sure that it can in fact flourish. And the things around it, the stuff that we like to call, it needs to be thought of in terms of what's going to facilitate and or get in the way of our ability to communicate the way that we want to communicate. So we look at stuff like, you know, the artifacts and the rituals. We look at process. We look at structure. We look at people. We look at technology. And do those things actually facilitate or hinder our ability to live out that value? That seems to me to be some of the hard work that organizations won't do or don't do or forget to do, which is, you know, we all have great intentions around living this value, but we have not created the environment in which it can actually flourish. I think that's just a great observation. I have another question, but Jamie, do you want to make an observation or question?
Yeah, no, I would sort of want to piggyback on what you said, because we've seen this in with clients that we've worked with that identify those specific areas that you just mentioned where they need to make changes in order to strengthen what is valued inside their culture. And one of the clients that we worked with actually distinguished between they're writing a playbook on how they're going to improve their culture, and they distinguish between offensive plays and defensive plays. And I love that distinction, because that defensive play is the idea of, hey, there's something in our culture that if we're not careful, we're going to lose it. Right, we need to reinforce it. We need to maintain it. We need to defend that piece of the culture. And I thought that's what it made. The example around communication that you gave, Jonathan, made me think of that. It's like, hey, we just sort of took it for granted that communication was going to happen, but in fact, that's so important to our success. We need to build some defensive plays around that to make sure that it doesn't get lost. So anyway, go ahead with your question, Charlie.
I agree with that. You know, Charlie, you brought something up. You know, we firmly believe that people, process, and technology are key for us, you know, driving growth and ultimately giving opportunity to our team members. And one of the things that's a struggle in a startup is typically the founders are doing probably 6 or 7 or maybe 50 different roles.
Right.
And the tough thing is again, you know, sometimes people don't know what they don't know. And it requires, you know, bringing team members in that can help bring in maybe new ideas and new process and new change to grow the business. But again, the key is, as you make those strategic hires, they have to be aligned to the values of the business, and you have to give them, they have to understand your purpose and have autonomy to carry out what they need to carry out on a daily basis. And from a founder perspective, if you're able to do that, then before you know it, you have other leaders that are carrying the culture torch and embodying the values. It's not just up to the original founders, and that's when you start to see the culture scale and grow.
Yeah, and well, I have two questions. They're both pretty big, and I don't know that we have enough time, but given your response there, Jonathan, I'm going to defer to one of them, and it's a little bit around, you know, kind of the hiring game. You know, I think we all have this vision of, you know, you talked about foosball tables and food, which I think ought to be in every organization, period. but we also have vision of kind of the kinds of people that are walking around, and I'll play the stereotype game a little bit. And to me, they're 25 to 30. They're wearing jeans, and you know, they're kind of chilling. Is that startup environment? Like, is that it? And when you look for people, and this is really the question, when you look for people to help you grow and to preserve what has gotten you to where you are, can you teach someone to live that culture? Or do they have to have already lived it? Do they have to have already proven that they can kind of be the champions for and the flag wavers for that kind of culture? I know it's a loaded question, but it's just like this build or buy thing for me.
That's a tremendous question, Charlie. So I'll take you back to a recent position. About 6 months ago, we put out a position for a social media manager to help us with content. And, you know, we had the role and we were looking to bring in somebody that we thought could help us take it to the next level. You know, and in St. Louis, you know, everybody would say it's tough, you know, getting talent in startup environments, right? Like it is, and it's competitive. And, you know, we had over 300 applications. And so the question is, you know, how did a small company from St. Louis, you know, drive that much excitement and traffic to an opportunity? It comes to a couple things. It's number one is our employees act not only, we actually not even employees, I call them team members, right? So I hate that name. But our team members act as owners, and they are very passionate about what the business is passionate about. And if there's one thing we've done right, it's making sure that we hire people that embody the values of the organization, right? It's really, really tough to have somebody that is not aligned. And so when we're in the interview process, there's kind of for us three C's to hiring. It gets more complex, but just to simplify it, number one is character, right? So we're looking for people that are going to do the right thing when we're not looking. And again, do the right thing is one of our values. And what's really tough is when you turn around as a startup, you go, again, from a handful to, say, 20 to 50 people, you can't watch everybody all the time. And ultimately, character is something that's valued for us. And we feel like whether you're a 20-something, a 30, or a 50-something, you know, at that stage of your life, you probably, you know, value character over other decisions. And so we want those types of people. The second trait that we look for in great candidates is a culture fit. And notice I haven't mentioned the skill set, right? We believe the skill set's third, but we believe the second is so important that you have to be a culture fit. And so we look at those values and we want to make sure that if you come in, you're not just going to take away from the culture and some of the things the culture is delivering, but you're going to add to it, right? And so we really hold that dear to our heart and close to the vest, and we want to make sure that when we're hiring our next team member, that team member is going to not only fit in with the culture, but we see them growing in the business and ultimately having a big part of defining what this culture is, not only now, but down the road. So I think in the hiring process, people think of startups and they think of all of the perks, and I think those perks are great. We have some of them here. But ultimately, you know, people don't leave for more perks and they don't leave for more money. They leave because of the culture and because of the leadership of the organization. So, you know, we every day we wake up, we know that we're working to make our culture one that attracts great talent, but more importantly, keeps them here and helps them to you know, drive our purpose and our mission of the business.
Yeah, that is something that we have consistently seen in our research with organizations that are more consistent with what we're calling future of work practices. Almost every one of them at this point says something similar to what you did, which is skills are great and they're a part of the equation, but we hire for culture first. And that alignment, I think, is what ends up generating the employee engagement that everyone's sort of searching for.
Absolutely.
So the final question that I would throw your way, and then Jamie, my guess is we're going to want to wrap this baby up, but this is a good conversation, and I want to leave the rest of the world that's not in the quote-unquote startup environment with one piece of advice from you, John. Like if there's one thing that more mature and evolved organizations could learn about culture from startups. I know we're putting you on the spot here, so, you know, just use your gut. What would you be telling them? Like, I mean, you guys have got this wrong. What you should be thinking about this more, or, you know, blah blah blah. What in your mind is the kind of the biggest opportunity cost, or, you know, lost opportunity for mature organizations in dealing with culture?
I think so. I have a number of conversations with leaders of larger companies than Hatchbuck, and it comes down to leadership questions, but also culture questions, right? I mean, we've been fortunate enough to have two companies with tremendous cultures, and so it's conversations I have frequently. And I think one of the biggest challenges, I think there's a little bit of a disconnect between leadership and the team that's actually driving, right? So driving results, and I think it's more of a top down. A strategy, and it needs to be more bottom up in larger organizations, right? So ultimately, if you want to, you know, your team members to be engaged at every level of the business, then you have to have that feedback from bottom up. So I think that's missing a lot of organizations. The second piece I would say that I see missing a lot is the emphasis on values. And I keep going back to that, but if you were to go to the Zappos, who's known for having an amazing culture, right, and a culture that Tony's built out there, if you were to go to their culture page, the first thing that comes up is not a picture of Tony. It's not a picture of the leadership team. It's not even the mission or the vision. It's a list of their values and how they live them. And so I think one thing that's missing is, you know, as organizations grow and you move from a startup to a large Fortune, you know, 100, 500 company, you know, again, the leadership has an opportunity to not only live those core values, but to make sure that every manager, every leader, and every department is carrying those values out. And ultimately, you're getting buy-in from everyone. More importantly, they're living the values, and you're getting that feedback from bottom up. And so you have your finger on the pulse of how healthy your culture is by how closely your team at every department is living those values.
Well, cool. So I am afraid we are out of time, but Jonathan, thanks so much for hanging out with us and having this very interesting conversation about culture. I will remind everyone that they can find out more about Hatchbuck at hatchbuck.com, correct?
Correct.
And again, thanks everyone for joining us. We appreciate our loyal podcast fans. Please check us out, depending on where you heard about us, either on our blog, which is at workxo.com, or at the Podbean site where we host our podcast. And please come back and join us again for the next edition of the Culture Chat.
And that was the Culture Chat today. We'll have some highlights up on the blog soon. Find out more about WorkXO and how to map your workplace genome at workxo.com.